July 27, 2020, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, happy Monday, last Monday of July. Summer more over than last show, which was Tuesday. Anyway, we started with John Coltrane, The Damned Don't Cry, and Jerome after that with Whole Time. Speaking of Jerome, you know, Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto, the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south of my pad here, but I'm not man alone totally, because those righteous software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Pat Mertens, Mertens. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Mertens, because you got a clever way of spelling that by using the number.
Oh, yeah. With my Instagram handle. Yeah. So it's supposed to be like Mertens, like the 10, the 10. So
different than the Merkin, right? The Merkin is kind of a piece that porno ladies use.
Yeah, a little different.
But I got to thank Dylan, first off, for making the connect.
Yeah, thank you, Dylan, man. He's been such a cool...
we're talking about on the other side in South Carolina way, Dear Blanca, boss. And I know he spent some time here, and he's got buddies here. He made a video and stuff, I know.
Yeah, that was our mutual friend, Adam Seiler, who made the video, who is a good friend of mine and former roommate, and he kind of linked us up when Dylan was in town to make that video a couple years ago, and then we've kind of just been pen pals ever since.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about your music journey. Pat, please tell me your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest musical recollection. My dad was like a big Deadhead guy, so it was always like weekends cruising around in his car and like listening to live Grateful Dead. And that didn't really like translate into my musical taste later in life, but I'd say that's probably my first.
What do you mean? He had like a cassette player? And he played
cassette player, listening to all the, like, live.
Well, when you say you're hearing Grateful Dead in the car, it's like fucking Jerry's in the back seat or what, you know?
Yeah, he's just, like, he's hanging there with us.
Kind of, but not. It was cassette. Yeah. Because they had the big group of tapers, right, and were trading live shows and stuff like this.
Yeah, man, which, I don't know, I admire that part of their whole scene and that kind of their jam band culture thing. I mean, that's never been my bag, like, musically. like I said, but just I like that thing they got going on, you know.
Now, was he just a listener, or did he play too?
He was always just a fan. No one really in my family is like a musician or a player, really.
So the pad you grew up in had no instruments?
Nope, no instruments. I probably like saw like a guitar store in the neighborhood. I was born in Kansas City, and then we later moved to Austin when I was like 7. But I remember like, you know, seeing the guitar store, you know, classic in the window. Like, I want one of those when I was like 5. And then I got my first like acoustic, like classical nylon string when I was like 7, 8, and started taking lessons.
You know who's from Kansas City? Charlie Parker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And Lester, the pork pie hat, Lester Young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so not Backwater. And Austin's probably the biggest music town in Texas. So, but I'm curious. What about school? So, no, you said 5 years old, so that ain't even fucking kindergarten, huh? So you wanted to start playing before you even went to school.
Yeah, pretty much.
And why do you think? Because you lived near a music store?
Yeah, there was, like, one in the neighborhood, and then, you know, like, I was born in 90, so, like, I remember hearing, like, Green Day on the radio when I was, like, 5 or 6, and speaking of cassettes, like, got that, like, Dookie cassette. As like, you know, first grade or something like that, and then I was like, yeah, I want to play guitar, and so
that's pretty early though. That's pretty good. But Pat, in school, did you get in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I never did any of that until like high school. I did like jazz band, and okay. So that's kind of like the only like in school musical experience I had, but I was already doing like garage bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you told me
rock camps and stuff when I was like middle school.
But you said that when you got the acoustic guitar, you got lessons, so that was kind of a school. That was a teacher.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I started taking like classical guitar lessons when I was like 7 or 8 or something. And then,
What was that like?
That was cool. Honestly, like, I was so young, I, like, don't remember a whole lot of it. I don't think I was, like, super interested in it, really.
You probably wanted to learn the songs off of Dookie.
Yeah, yeah, I wanted to be learning those, but, you know, it's like the classic, like, your parents are like, oh, just a guitar first, or kind of thing
when did
like
you
that.
Get, when so, did you get your first electric guitar, Pat?
I got my first electric when I was 12, I think, so, like, middle school, and then that's when I got to start learning those, like, you know, Green Day tunes and Jimi Hendrix and...
Was that Green Day cassette was that Green Day cassette the first music that you bought for yourself?
Yeah, yeah. It was like the first, you know, one that was like my own.
And what was
thing.
The first gig you went to that you picked?
Green Day, actually.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So, it's funny, I'm like saying all this like,
what's his name? Billy Joe.
He
came here. He had like another band, you know, called,
what's that?
He had another band before that called I can't remember what they were called, but he came to Pedro and played. So I got to meet him here in Pedro. Yeah, that's it was so cool. Gunpowder something. Powder Keg.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I forget the name of it.
And he was a really nice guy. Really nice guy.
Yeah, he's cool, man.
So his guitar playing was a big inspiration for you.
Yeah, totally, man. I remember learning those tunes, and I was so young, and then, like, it kind of instilled that, like, driving, like, rhythm guitar thing in me, which, you know, sticks with you know what I mean?
Sure, sure. First impressions are really strong. Totally. What about, now, you're in junior high, you're making the garage band, bedroom band, basement band?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that like?
That was cool. I'd say like the first thing I did these like rock camp, like summer camp kind of things through a music school in Austin. And that was kind of my first experience like playing with other people in like a rock kind of setting. So I did those. And then that was like every summer. And then I had like a proper like garage band with friends, I'd say, when I was like 14 and first year in high school, and kind of just you know, finding the other kids. I was new at a public school, and I was just like trying to find the other guitar kids, you know. And
right, but what about at that camp? The camp probably set up gigs. Maybe your first gigs were at these camps.
Yeah, man, it was super sick. Like, it was Austin School of Music, and so they kind of set it up like a 2-week thing. You practice, you like record a little demo, and then the gig is at or was at Antone's. You know, the like kind of classic
downtown
club. Yeah, downtown Austin. So they'd have like a thing that was like a day, early afternoon show on like a Saturday.
What was the first one for you like?
Playing those first gigs?
The first gig. Can you remember it?
First gig. Yeah, I remember it. I was probably pretty nervous. I think we played like a Kiss song, probably one Green Day song. I believe we actually had two drummers in that band.
All right.
Pretty hip.
Were you scared? Grateful Dead.
Yeah, totally. I remember being nervous. I had like a guitar solo on one song, and I was like, oh my God, you know, like, pressure's on.
You know, two drum sets is more Grateful Dead than it is Green Day.
Oh, yeah, super dead.
Look, I want to play STN by Jerome, okay? We'll be right back.
died, she died. She died in a workplace homicide. Her boss was older and grayer too. He got jealous of her youth. She packed her lunch each day. She was smart that way. When he saw time, she meet her fate. Thought it fit to give her a proper ceremony, so she ended up in the break room crematory. She died, she died, she died in a workplace homicide. She died, she died, died in a workplace homicide. She died, she died, she died, she died, she died, she died.
Watch for Pedro show.
Yeah, that was Stay the Night. I was enlightened.
Yeah, that's it.
Pat here to tell me what STN secretly means by Jerome. And yeah, then we had Andrea Belfi. In the last show, I played part one of this live gig he did. And here's the part two with ISO Lead and Sin Clean. After that, Wild Rats, which was a prize where I got to play with Ron Ashton for this movie soundtrack, Velvet Goldmine, 1997, and Steve Shelley's releasing this stuff now with Don Fleming and Thirst. After that, Only Now with Merciless Destiny, Aunt Sally, I was chosen. Aunt Sally's an early version, or it's an early band for that experimental musician feud, and I was chosen. Yeah, 1979, I guess you would. Yeah, early Osaka punk. And then Jerome with Workplace Homicide. Yeah, that's called Postal, right? Not as many lately, maybe because of the COVID-19 situation, but other ways to be crazy and stupid. So people, let's get together. Back to Pat's journey through music. So did you get to record at the Rock Camp?
Yeah, they had, this music school had like a proper studio, so yeah, they would do, you know, just a live tracking kind of thing, two songs, I think, and, yeah, so that was kind of first recording experience.
Yeah, that's happened. You know, a lot of schools cut out the music program, so that's why I always ask about music in school, and this sounds really fucking happening.
Yeah, it was super cool, man. And like, you know, there's so many of those like around the country now, but I want to say this was one of the first ones that did like, you know, the like summer band camp, rock camp kind of thing. And then like they started out doing it in the late 90s or something like that. So,
you know, awesome last summer, Jay Maskus wrote me an email asking me, he's got a summer camp.
And dude, I saw that. That was like a dream. I was like, oh, dude, if I could go to that as like a 30-year-old dude.
but well, why not? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, is there a point when you should say, oh, I'm too old to learn? Isn't that kind of stupid?
Oh, super stupid. Yeah. I like still learn, like I've been every day during this whole quarantine deal, like learning, charting out songs, like my first one I did, Pictures of Lily. I wrote down
the Who. Man, me and D Boone went way into that song. In fact, I kind of used some of the music to write a song called Piss Bottle Man.
Okay, I was leading you that way, Mike. I was doing my back research for this interview, and I was reading your page, and I was like, holy shit, he has a song with Evan Dando, and like Lemonheads, Evan Dando has been like my hero god of the past like 2 years. Big influence on all the drum stuff.
Yeah, that's what he started out as. People don't know that. Right, first Lemonheads. And then... I think the real good record was Shame About Ray.
Oh, dude, I can play that one on guitar top to bottom.
Yeah, I got to do a lot of gigs with him. Also on that song was Joe Biza and Xander Schloss, and Bob Lee was on the drums.
Yeah.
You know, that was a trippy record. Where
lead guitar on that. Is that Jay on lead guitar or no?
No, he's John Strome.
Oh, okay.
Who had a band. The bass player for It's a Shame About Ray had a band called Blank Babies with John Strome, and he played the lead guitar.
Okay, cool.
And then the singers are Petra Hayden, her sisters, Rachel, Tanya.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, that record was a trip. Like
on
every
the backgrounds, on the female vocals.
Well, I had somebody to do John Entwistle and Pete Townsend, right?
Yeah.
That album was like one band for one song, so I could put together, They call it a solo record, but there was 48 fucking people on that. That's not solo.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I do my records. It's just like, okay, I'm writing the songs, and then like, you know, you have so many friends who are sick players. You're like, oh, I'll get this dude or that dude. Like, it's kind of a good way to do it, you know.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to that, but I want to fill in the gap in between Austin School of Music and those times. So. After high school, did you go to college for more music?
Yeah, I went to community college, like, in Austin, and I did, like, a couple years of audio engineering, kind of, like, learning how to record, and once again, like, solid education at Austin School of Music, Austin Community College had, like, a really good, like, proper studio with, like, a huge analog, like, decking board and a bunch of outboard gear and Pro Tools and all that, so I learned how to do that for a year, and then kind of switched to more like jazz guitar performance kind of stuff for a couple of years. Never got like a proper associates for them, but was kind of just hanging around the music school there for a few years.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you were in bands around town?
Oh, yeah, I'm jumping around here, but was kind of my first proper gigging band called Blues Mafia, actually, in high school, kind of formed out of that Austin School of Music rock camp scene I was in, and then we just broke off and like did our own band, and it was like we were gigging with all these blues bands and at Antone's and all the clubs around Austin from when I was like 16, 17 all the way up until I was like, that band broke up when I was probably like 20 or something, so it was like a 4-year run with them, and that was like my first proper like gigging.
Did you get to tour with them?
We would tour like regionally around Texas, like drive out to Houston and surrounding cities, and then we did one like flight, like came out to LA. We had a guy out here who wanted to record us. Oh, and speaking of the Who, we had this cat, Shel Talmy, who was the dude.
First manager.
Yeah, and first producer, he produced My Generation.
Right. And in fact, he wrote so, like Circles. Well, it's got different names. Sometimes it's called Disguises, Circles.
Uh-huh.
And he wouldn't let them sing backups. He brought in other backup singers.
Oh, that's wild. I never knew that.
And then he got a band to sound like them called... I don't know, what's that song, Painter Man and stuff like that, the something, so you got to meet him, huh, work with him?
Yeah, we got to work with him, and we never got to make the record with him, but we did some pre-production. He actually flew to Austin and, like, came to some of our rehearsals and, like, you know, did just basic pre-production, kind of, like, sitting in and giving us kind of suggestions on some of our tunes, and
The creation, cool. I remember the name. It was called The Creation. He must have been an older gentleman when he was with you, right?
Yeah, he was. He was probably, in his late 70s or something, I want to say, at the time. This was like 10-plus years ago.
But what was he like in person?
Really mellow, super nice guy. he had like recently gone blind actually, so he was kind of like, you know, needed some help getting around, and our friend who was going to fund our record at the time was like neighbors with him, so he brought him into Austin, flew in with him. And I just remember him being like a really like soft-spoken, like cool dude, and like classic like rock producer guy, like with the like sunglasses and like, you know, like that whole, like, he was definitely like, you know, classic record man, music biz kind of dude.
Right. So after the blues breaks
blues
up,
mafia.
Blues
yeah.
mafia breaks up, then what's next for you?
I was in a couple other bands around Austin. I was in like a live hip hop band, and then I did like a jazz trio thing that was kind of like a side gig. Like we had like a restaurant gig for 5 years or something like that.
Wow.
And then more indie bands, and oh, and then one of the guys from Blues Mafia went solo, and I was like a sideman for him. He ended up getting signed to Atlantic Records. His name's Max Frost. And so he had some like success, and I did my first like big tour with him in 2013. We like, you know, came out to LA and we're opening for Gary Clark Jr., blues guitar dude out of Austin. And like, so we got to play like the Wiltern out here and Terminal 5 in New York and like all this. So that was like my first like big, like kind of cool touring gig.
Yeah. Terminal 5. Yeah. Terrible sound there. But Wiltern.
Wilton, yeah.
Incredible.
That was the first one on the tour.
Wilshire Boulevard and 6th Street, right downtown. It's green.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a K-Town's got almost up to there now. That's interesting. You got, and it's because of the Blues Mafia connect, because you played with him earlier.
Yeah, all through that connect, he was other guitar player. And then he broke off and went solo, and I was just like a sideman for him.
Yeah, but people should realize that. You shouldn't burn Brit. You never know what's down the road.
Oh, yeah. Totally, man. And we're, like, I don't play in his band anymore, but we're still, like, homies to this day, and I still collaborate with him. I actually did a live stream, like, quarantine live stream with him, like, a month ago or something. He's a good friend of mine.
Now, oh, shit, we're at the end of the first hour. July 27, 2020, Dish Block, Peter Show. Special guest, Pat Mertens. Hold tight for hour two. July 27, 2020. Second hour of the Wife for Pedro Show.
You don't have to argue.
And I wonder, what do you think of me, or do you think of me at all? And should I stumble, would you catch me, or would you let me fall? And if the answer to these questions lies within your eyes, then why can I not see it? Am I dumb or am I blind? Well, blinded by my love, perhaps a love that will not fade. Cause what we think is one thing, another what we say. In a way, was when we said goodbye today, would you hold
Watt for Pedro show. Started the second hour off with Simple Thing from Jerome. Then brand new from Team Dresh, Detached. Guided by Voices. Unfun Glitz. I think this is from last year. In the last year, he's done three albums. One of them, double album. This guy, Bob Pollard, he puts stuff out. Thorn Friends from Austin with 90 Meters. Maya from Up the City, Wasting Away. Black Moon Tape, The Journey. And finally, Jerome with, do I have to tell you? Sweet. I think that was the last word I heard out of you. Now, what I wanted you to do off air, people, I was asking Pat about this. You know, he's talking about helping his buddy out on tour in Los Angeles. But the last we heard from him, he had a restaurant gig in Austin. So what happened in between?
I moved out to L.A. in 2016 and kind of, you know, things were kind of at, like, I guess, like a stopping point in Austin. I didn't really have any bands that I was, like, deep into. And then, like I said, I've always seen myself as like a, or did for a long time before starting the Jerome thing, more as like a sideman. So I always had my sights on L.A. and like the classic session man, touring man lifestyle. And so I moved out here April 2016 and was like in Echo Park, Silver Lake area, and kind of just got into the music scene around here, you know.
Do you think it has to be either or?
No, you know, it really doesn't, man. Maybe I had it in my head like that at one time, and then,
well, when you're starting out, you don't know. You got to find out, right?
Yeah, you got to figure it out. And like, I just kind of dove back in, and the only way I know how to do it is just hanging out and going to gigs. So I did that, and one thing led to another. Started playing in bands around here, and one band turned into five bands within the course of like a couple years, and different genres of music. And the first band was Strange Phases, which I think I gave you some on
we're
going to
play that here. Yeah, we're going to play that near the end. And Caesar Says.
Yeah, Caesar Says too. He was same kind of crew, and got to do some touring with him.
I just thought I'd put all the Jerome songs around each other.
Because
Jerome is you, right? Jerome is your baby.
Yeah, Jerome is my thing. So Jerome is actually my middle name. That's essentially like my solo project or my music. And then I kind of...
Well, tell me where did it start? Here? SoCal?
Yeah. All in Los Angeles, I'd say, over the past like year and a half. And it kind of just came out of like me getting super deep into the whole like 90s power pop thing, like talking about Lemonheads and Evan Dando and all that stuff along those lines, like Matthew Sweet, Teenage Fan Club. And I was just, you know, felt the need to like, I wanted to be in a band like that, and none of my bands were really like that, so I had to make my own thing, you know.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, listening to your story, your journey,
uh-huh,
this might be the first band you put together.
I'd say it's like my own thing. Yeah, this is like my first thing.
Hence why you use your name. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, tell me about the first Jerome gig.
First proper Jerome gig was actually just at the beginning of this year, prior to the shutdown. I'd say January. Late January. I just put out the EP that like STN and those other ones are on. I released that in November 2019, and that was kind of like me playing most of the instruments and then two different drummers, but it was kind of just a self-produced thing. And then I was like, man, I need to get out there and play some gigs. One fell into my lap over at Resident, which is in downtown LA, like Arts District area. Got a live band together of some friends, and it was a super awesome first gig.
It went good.
Oh, dude, it was like, it couldn't have gone better, man. It was awesome.
Well, I always ask about first gigs because they can be all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, no, like, I got lucky. I mean, I've had some bad first gigs with various projects, and this like couldn't have been better. The sound was great, had a good turnout. My band is killer. Like, you know, I think we did like two rehearsals, and they're just, you know.
Do you ever use the word practice?
You know, I'm more leaning on the rehearsal. I'm more of a rehearsal versus practice guy.
Yeah, because I wonder, because yeah. I've yet to hear a basketball player say, I'm going to go to the gym and rehearse some hoops.
Right.
I want to play Get On Here.
I think I know a place we could go and wouldn't feel so strange.
This is a funky little New York song. It's called Waiting for the Man. And it's got a nice theme behind it. And, you know, good words and good melody and everything. $6 in my hand. Up to Lexington and 125. Feel sick and dirty, more dead than alive. Ooh, I'm waiting for my man. Hey, white boy. What you doing uptown? Hey, white boy, you chasing our women around? Oh, pardon me, sir, it's furthest from my mind. I'm just looking for a dear friend of mine. Whoa. I'm waiting for my man. All dressed up in black. Christian Dior shoes, umbrella, and a big straw hat. He's never early, he's always late. You know the very first thing you learn is that you always gotta wait. I'm waiting for my man. Stone up three flights of stairs. Everybody's got you pinned, baby, but you know, no, nobody cares. He's got the works on, gives you sweet taste, but then you got to split because you got no time to waste. Oh, I'm waiting for my man. Don't you fall and shout. I'm feeling good. Woo, I'm gonna work it on out. I'm feeling good. Oh, I'm feeling so fine. Until tomorrow, but that's just another time now. I'm waiting for my man. All right, come on, baby. I'm waiting for my man. I'm waiting on my man. No, I'm waiting for my man.
me home.
Start off that chunk of music with Jerome doing Get On. Was that from the EP also?
No, so that was actually later. Early, like, demo.
Oh, early. Okay.
Yeah. That one's actually, like, one of the oldest ones. I gave you a couple unreleased tunes because...
That's all right.
You asked for 11 songs. It's such a new project. I had to give you a couple exclusives, man.
Yeah, but, Pat, what I like to do is I like to bookend the chunks of music with the guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I asked for 11. It's not to sweat you or anything.
Totally, man. Okay. No, but yeah, that was like an early one from...
But it's you on everything, right?
Yeah, that's me on everything except for the drums. That's my boy Max, who I was saying I toured with him. So he's like a multi-instrumentalist. He plays everything, so I got him to...
Well, I've seen pictures
of you...
smack
the drums on that one.
I seen pictures of you with a bass and a guitar, but I didn't see you on drums. So you play all the instruments but drums?
Yeah, that's pretty much the deal. I play bass and drums, and I think there's actually harmonica on that one, too. I kind of, you know, faked a little harmonica, too.
Yeah, John Fogerty. You know, when it came down the road, he taught himself sax and organ. You know, he got tired of guitar.
Whoa, that's wild, yeah. Man.
Mystical Weapons after that. That's Sean Lennon and Les Claypool. Colony Collapse Disorder,
Sawako Daisuke Miyatani with Sao. So, sorry, reminiscent. Two backs from Italy with Iola Orali. Shit, I fuck up people's language, so sorry, forgive me. Peter Lochner after that from the old days in Cleveland, Waiting for the Man, Velvet tune. And finally, Jonah from Jerome.
Oh, yeah.
The J-Boys. So you do make demos.
Yeah, I make demos, and a lot of my tunes kind of stem from the demo. Like, I'll just, do it with the drum machine, do some basic layering, and then I'll, like, send it off to a drummer or get a drummer in a room and kind of build, like, replace the drum machine kind of thing and build it from the demo.
Okay. And then, obviously, you write the bass along with the other stuff, but then you bring it for gigs, right? You got a bass man.
Yeah, I got a bass man. His name's Dalton Jackson, another Austinite turned Angelino.
Ah, so you got connects from the former town.
Oh, yeah, tons of them. A bunch of, like, my Austin buddies have moved out here, actually. It's kind of funny.
You know, of all the towns you could have picked.
Yeah.
Did you, like, consider more than SoCal?
I kind of always had my sights set on California, you know.
Okay.
I've been, like, visiting and coming out here for, like, I don't know, 10 plus years, or maybe not 10, I don't know. Like, yeah, ever since, like, my teenage years, I just loved it out here.
Because, you know, there is, I mean, inside the area, which is huge, mm-hmm. you know, many millions of people, maybe 100 square miles.
Yeah, it's massive.
But after that, there's hell rides to tour. I mean, you could do an I-5 tour, right? But then to get all the rest of the country, there's the Rocky Mountains and all that stuff in a way.
Yeah, it's not really the best touring hub out here.
Yeah, there's one reason why Billy from the Descendants moved to Fort Collins. Because he thought in the middle of the country there, and the other side of the Rockies.
Right, yeah. It's a smart move.
But, well, I don't know about touring these days.
Yeah, it's gonna be a minute.
but it'll come back maybe a little different. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. July 27, 2020, Dish of Watt from Pedro Show. Special guest, Pat Mertens. Hold tight for hour three. July 27, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Simple morning was a different story. Used to know it out of nowhere. Fake it, then the day spent off and only it can bore me.
Some warned us, but we wouldn't listen.
did they take in wisdom, love, hope? How do we know the good parts of us didn't wash away a long time ago? In the end, no one can kill love. It just died. It's gone.
Walk for Pedro show. We started the third hour off with Jerome, Off and Only.
Yeah.
And I think that's, is that the name of the EP?
That one's actually a single.
Ah, okay.
I put that one out a little over a month ago, and I did that.
Wow, this is, so this is still got steam coming off it.
Yeah, that one's fresh, man. I was still like promoting it. I recorded that during quarantine, like all from my house.
Yeah.
And then kind of did it. Track style, like email style, like, so that's a couple of my friends in Austin played on that. My buddy Coulter Lutz played drums. My buddy Jan Fleming played organ on it. Just like emailed them the, you know, the tracks back and forth a little.
Trade files.
Just file style, man.
Which is cool, you know, but hopefully we get down the road where we can actually play with each other.
Yeah, man, it's
that's down the road, you know. It won't ever replace, but man, and especially compared to the old days where if you wanted to collab, you had to be there with the dude.
Yeah, I know, man.
You know, so it's not totally lame. I hear people pissing and moaning. Man, we get a situation put on us, let's deal with it.
Yeah, you just make
the best. You know what I mean? Yeah, God, all the belly aching and whining. If you think about the events in history, it could be a lot rougher in a way. I mean, losing 1,000 people a day is pretty bad. But
yeah, it's pretty heavy.
The Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Second War, the First War. I mean, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah, so I think every era's got their challenges, and let's just get together and deal with it. Okay, David Gerard after that from Massachusetts with, I think he did this upstate New York, Sheltered in Place. He's into this thing called ambient. I could see down the road, Pat. You got a future in ambient. that's kind of a joke because you're not ambient. You're full of licks. You're Lightnin' Hopkins. In fact, you could have grew up in Houston with that Lightnin' Hopkins, those licks.
Oh, man, I love Lightnin'. Yeah, I actually just got into him during quarantine.
You know, he did that a lot of that shit on acoustic.
Yeah, dude, he played a Gibson J50, man.
But,
I just watched the documentary Blues According to Lightnin' Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of those licks turn into ZZ Top.
Yeah, dude, they're like the basis for all that. And I mean, Texas guitar culture, that's all I grew up in. It was all big amps and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Stratocasters. But
the licks, you know, the idea of having the lick, you know, where you're not just strumming chords, man. You got this kind of percussive rhythmic thing going, and it gets going great with a good drummer and a good bass guy. I think Billy was Houston, but Dusty and Frank were Dallas, and they came from a blues band. Okay, then we had Damon Smith on the up, right? He's in St. Louis these days, and this project you foreshadowed to the listeners, 2020 by Strange Phases.
Well,
Enlightenment.
What's that?
Enlightenment.
Oh, so that Strange Phases, that was the first band I joined when I moved to LA in like 2016. And I was actually playing bass for them when I first started. They had already like made a full length record. So we kind of like gigged around, and I was slanging my big white P bass and singing backgrounds, and it was fun. It's kind of like the first like proper like indie rock kind of band I was in.
Is indie a sound?
Indie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a broad thing, you know.
Kind of bullshitting. Like alternative?
It kind of is, man.
Like you're alternative? Right. I hated that word alternative. I mean, what's the alternative to music? Silence?
Right, yeah. And it's like, what's indie? Independent, right?
Yeah, but what does that tell you about the sounds? That's just the way you're trying to, fun yourself, right?
Strange Phases is kind of like pretty heavily influenced by like Britpop 90s stuff and like shoegaze, like Ride and Swerve Driver.
Now, was there any Austin guys in this band?
No, I'm the sole Austin guy. That project's kind of the brainchild of my buddy Kurt Barlage, and like I said, first like LA collaborator. He's a South Bay dude. He grew up in Redondo.
Dondo. Okay, let's listen to Climax.
Live for Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Climax, Strange Phases. Then Heavenly Channel Season 1, LP 8, Side B from Galaxtasy. This is Jared Raquel out in Joshua Tree. During this Quentin Quarantino mode, they've done 8 albums. So I want to hear anybody whining about being bored, all right? You don't have to sit on your hands, get up there and record. Pat's doing it. I'm fucking trying my hardest. Anyway, that's the last of them. I've played all 8 for the last 8 shows. And incredible inspiration. Thank you, Galaxtasy people. And they're out in the desert where you got to do something where you just dry up, wither away. And then finally, Reckless Child from Cesar Sayas. And he's one of your early SoCal connects, right?
Yeah, yeah, he was probably the second band I started playing with, and still play with him, and yeah, I was on that one. I played the slide guitar solo on that one.
Okay, well, yeah, slide is, if you're from Texas and you do slide, that's a job.
Yeah, back to the licks.
Back to the licks. Look, where can people find you on the internet, Pat?
Best hub for me is Instagram, and that's kind of my Jerome Central.
There's no Pat Mertens.
Under my name, if you just look up Pat Mertens, MER10S, and that's kind of where I do my thing and post about all the gigs and recordings.
That's somebody else's fucking site. You don't have your own Pat Mertens site.
No, I don't have a website. I'm kind of just
you know, you can get a free one from
my personal media, social media kind of stuff.
You can get a free one. I'm just trying to give you a little advice. You can get a free one from WordPress. I just think it's all right to put words out on those things, but, man, if they go down, you go down with them. So you should have – I mean, this goes back to fanzines, right? That's
totally.
That's all. Yeah, that's all. So I ain't trying to scold you. So, right, cool. So people, you look for Pat. Pat, M-E-R with the Roman numeral 10.
And then an S.
And then an S. Right, right. So, and that's like a instant ham handle, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
So slash instant ham slash whatever. And what's your next plan?
I got a couple more tunes I've written. I'm trying to like get into a proper studio. So like I'm kind of just trying to up my production game with everything I come out with. So the first EP was all pretty, I'd say, lo-fi and produced by yours truly. And then kind of did the same thing on that new single, but I'd say I kind of stepped it up fidelity wise a little bit on the mix. And then, got 2 more to crank out that I want to get done at a real studio. And I kind of have a couple options I'm looking at for that. And so yeah, probably another little EP or single coming soon.
And, you know, up to this point from when you first started as a boy on that acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
You meet a young person. What advice would you give from all that experience?
Oh, man. I'd say just keep doing it, you know? I'd say the persistence is, like, the key, you know? Just play every day and love it, you know what I mean? Stay inspired. Keep digging.
I mean, there's a lot of... Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, but... Maybe to do that, you need a little belief in yourself.
Yeah, totally. Kind of.
Because have you had doubts?
Oh, yeah, majorly.
Yeah, I get buttloads all the time.
Yeah, that's like part of a musician is just
so what do you do?
Crippling self-doubt.
Yeah, but what do you do to get over that?
To get over the doubt?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like I said, just keep learning. Like I like, stay inspired. Keep digging for records and new people to obsess with.
Well, that's you mean likewise? That, likewise,
that's broad advice.
Kind of broad, but you said earlier, go to gigs, find people.
Yeah, go to gigs. Like that's been like coming from Austin, the live music scene there. You could like. You could pop around and go to 4 gigs in a night and just, you know, jazz, blues, rock, everything, country. And that's a big part of it. And just to like the community of it, like talking to you or like any other musician, and that's kind of a big part of just keeping the wheels turning, I think, is the communal aspect of it, you know?
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show, part of this little community.
Yeah. Truly, thank you so much. It's like an honor to be here and chat with you, man.
Really. Yeah. And when you get new music, come back on the show. People, it's been July 27, 2020 edition of Wild for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.